Buongiorno and welcome to the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast. Whether you're sipping an espresso, indulging in a plate of pasta, or just tuning in from your favorite pizzeria, we're here to bring you the flavors, traditions, and stories that make up the heart of the Italian American experience. From the bustling streets of Little Italy to the family kitchens where recipes are passed down through generations, we'll explore it all. So grab a cannoli, settle in, and let's embark on this delightful journey together. In each episode, we'll feature interviews with fascinating guests, share authentic recipes, and dive into the history that shaped the Italian-American community. But most importantly, we want to hear from you. Call in, share your stories, and let's create a community that celebrates the essence of La Dolce Vita. You can also catch our podcast episodes for a taste of Italy wherever you are. So whether you're Nana's favorite or just discovering your roots, get ready for a radio experience that's amore, right here on the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast. Andiamo! Stay tuned for an hour of cultural delights coming your way on the Italian American Radio Show and Podcast.
Good morning, everybody. It's Chef Mike. It's Sunday. Maron, you believe it? They got me back again. You know, before we start, because I got a cast of people that you guys are going to go crazy. But believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, I got a letter from the Vatican. Because I want you to understand that we are in 36 states. We are in Switzerland, Germany, France, and Rome, and we have over 100,000 listeners worldwide. So a couple of days ago, Franny Sullivan, the producer, says to me, Mike, we got a letter from the Vatican. And he said, you better come over right now. I was shocked, and I want to make an apology, a public apology to Pope Francis, because he postponed his mass just to hear my show. So Pope Francis, please forgive me, but you need to do the church thing. And you can always just, you can always watch me on tape. Anyway, I love you. So we got a great guest. It's okay. I know that there. I got a gentleman with me today who is not only, let me tell you something, pound for pound, best criminal lawyer in Las Vegas. The best, beside my own attorney, that something happened. He's supposed to be on the show today, and he said his motorcycle broke down, Michael South, but I'm sure he'll be over here. But I want to introduce this fine gentleman. He's not only a great attorney, but he has a band called Limoncello. Now, they do all kinds of music, but they do the Italian music of, if you went to Italy, of the groups that are today, that's the music he does. And I heard him and I seen his show. And I got to tell you, folks, pound for pound, this guy ain't no joke. He's not only great in the arena when it comes to law, this guy's fantastic when it comes to the stage. And that gentleman's name is Mr. Tony Scro. Tony, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Thanks so much for having me.
Are you kidding me, baby? You're okay. We got the same barber, so we got to stick together, me and Tony.
Indeed, we do. Your head looks a little shinier than mine today.
Well, I put a little stuff on that. Okay. Tony, let me ask you a question. Your songs that you do, because the listeners, and one of the other things, he is at the Composer's Room. Fabulous place, good place, swinging joint. I got to tell you, a lot of my friends are performing there. Tell them a little bit about what you do.
So we were in the entertainment business for a long time, and I saw a lot of, Latin night and different kinds of night, Tejano nights, that sort of thing. And it occurred to me there's no Italian night. So I started doing a little research, and I realized how many songs American artists have stolen from Italian artists and made them huge hits here in the United States. And then when they weren't stealing our music, they were stealing the actual people. They took Sinatra, claimed them as their own. They took all sorts of people. And so basically our show is a tongue-in-cheek experience about how so much that came from Italy influenced so much of what's going on in the United States pop culture scene. All the way from a guy named Zucchero, who's like the Beatles in Italy, who's played with Brian May from Queen and Sting, et cetera, et cetera. So, Stand By Me was a huge hit here in the United States. It was a huge hit in Italy. Gloria, the 80s disco iconic song, was written by an Italian guy named Tozzi. He made it popular there. And then Laura Branigan, of course, remade it and made it popular here. So there is all kinds of crossover that really no one ever, it never occurs to anybody. So what we did is we just put together a group of songs that you'd be surprised to learn originated in Italy, or the artist is Italian, et cetera, et cetera. So we created this show. We call it The Heist, right? All the stuff they stole from us. Us being, right, I'm still Italian. My whole family was born and raised in Italy. So that's really the show. So we do things in Italian and in English, and a lot of times we fuse both versions. Like Now or Never, the old Elvis Presley tune, came from a song that's 200-300 years old called O Sole Mio. And there's a video of Elvis in concert live saying, hey, we took this from O Sole Mio. One of 100 examples. So it's a lot of fun. We enjoy it. The musicians I perform with are out of this world talented. The talent in this room is fantastic. I'm going to tell you right now, these guys you have sitting next to me are unbelievable.
Well, they're not that good, Tony. Come on.
They're pretty good.
They're pretty good. I don't know about these guys. No, I'm only teaching. They're my good friends.
But the, you know, the drummer we have in our band, he plays for an 80s band named Asia. They're still super popular. Bass player plays for Great White. The piano player played for Sarah McLachlan. So these are
serious people
who, by the way, didn't know anything about the concept. I played the music, they learned the music, fell in love with the music, and off we went. And now we have just an amazing show. And there's, you know, one guy played with Slaughter, who's a guitar player. The female lead singer in our show actually lived in Florence for a while and played every Tuesday night in a local cafe over there, sang in English and Italian. So incredible stuff. I really am excited about it, and it gives me the opportunity to.
Now, you were born in Italy, right?
I was not. My parents were. I was born in Hamilton, Ontario, Canada.
Canada. A lot of Italians in Canada, Tony.
A lot.
You know, a lot of people didn't notice, and I want to say a shout-out to our director here, Justin. I noticed you didn't shave again, kid. Come on, what are you going to do? You got to look right. I had a great uncle that was a cardinal in Italy called Cardinal Francisco Sicola. I don't know if you ever heard of him. And it was my grandfather's brother's nephews. And he was a cardinal in Italy, Cardinal Francisco Sicola. Great guy, great man. And he was supposed to be the Pope. And they never made him the Pope, Pete, never. Mm. They'd have called him Pope Sicola. Anyway, let me tell you. Do we have a phone? Listen, Tony, I'm not done with you, buddy, because I'm looking at Michael Satz just pulled up with his motorcycle and his girlfriend in the back. You guys with these chicks, I don't know what it is. I need to get a bike over here or something. So let me do something. We got a caller on the line.
Ninon.
Who?
Ninon.
Ninon. Hello, who am I speaking to? Oh, my God in heaven. Not Nina DeRada Rosen.
She's hot.
Peter, we love you, sweetheart. How you doing, Nina? What's going on? Well, that's an Italian thing from Philly. If your name is Jimmy, we call you James, we call you Jimmy. If it's Frank, we call you Frankie.
Let's see if she can guess who else is.
I'm doing good. Thank you so much for calling in. She has a very big show today. We have what a star-studded guest we have. We have Peter Favone with me. I got Freddie Bees here, and I got Michael Sapp just came in, one of the biggest criminal attorneys, and also Tony Scro, not only a big attorney, but one of the owners and one of the guys from the Composer's Room. He has a show called Limoncello. He just got talked a little bit about it. I'm going to get back with Tony. Tony's going to be my anchor. You know, but I just wanted to, you know, I want you to call in because, like I said, we got an hour show. Everybody's listening. Real quick, tell me what you're doing and what you got lined up. Yes, I know. I remember that. I had a lot of fun, and I thank you for that. Could you hear Tony? You can't hear, can you? Okay. No, I was talking to Tony. Yeah, Mike is going to come in because as soon as we get off speaking, I'm going to talk to Peter Pavone and then I'm going to bring Mike in when we go to commercial break. But listen, go ahead. Huh? What a handsome guy. What a handsome guy he is. Check, he can't sing to save his life, but I got to tell you, now I'm teasing. Pete's my buddy. I love him. And that's why I'm glad that he's here. And he's going to be telling you exactly where he's going to be performing at. Listen, Nina, I love you with all my heart. I love you. I love you so well. If I was a peanut, I wish you were a shell. I want to thank you so much for calling. Tony Crow's shaking his head. That's why I got the number one show here, Tony, for that reason. You know what I mean?
I feel it. I feel it.
Thank you, sweetheart. You're a doll. What a nice girl. Love you too, sweet. What a nice lady she is. Have you met her?
I've not.
Another top radio personality, television personality. I was on her TV because I wrote a book, you know, and I was on her show. Anyway, I'd like to get to my buddy Peter Pravone. Pete, how we doing, buddy? We doing okay?
Any better, it'd be illegal. I'd need a lawyer.
Well, you got one right over here. Next to me, ladies and gentlemen, is the great, the magnificent Mr. Peter Pravone. He's rough. He's tough. He don't take no stuff. And he's one of the best, and I love Pete.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Pete. It's so nice. You know, I want you to tell the listeners, I keep thinking, remember that album you did?
Yeah.
I'm getting married in the morning.
Yeah.
The bells are going to chime. I said, swing it, Pete. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I got Tony laughing. I just woke up. He's been sleeping for quite a while. So he woke up.
Yeah.
So tell everybody about your where you're performing at and what the scoop is.
Well, I'll be Cinco de Mayo at the Composer's Room.
Ooh.
I think it's like 5:30. And then June 20th, doing my new show from Nashville to Vegas at the Notoriety Live downtown.
Right.
And that's going to be a 7 o'clock show. I have a 9-piece band and dancers and a whole nine because I have a big birthday the next day. So I'm spending a few dollars. And it's great. You know, I'm a old school Las Vegas entertainer where I sing, do stand-up.
But you did Sinatra for a while. You did that.
Oh, yeah. That was my claim to fame. I got here and did Sinatra at the Rios and the Rat Pack and the Rat Pack at the Riviera.
Right.
Got the Tribute Artist of the Year Award, 2-time Las Vegas Personality Award. And I still talk to myself when I'm at home because nobody talks to me. You know, I'm just kidding.
No.
But, no, everything's great.
Because we go back a long time, you and I.
We do.
We go back a very, very long time.
10, 12 years.
More. Yeah. Well, I got out 12 years ago. What are you talking about?
Well, I was there.
I was. No, you were. You were where I was
home.
At, pal.
Give you a ride home.
You know what I mean? But I tell you, Pete, you're a charm. You're a great performer. What's those dates again? Let the people know.
Cinco de Mayo, Composer's Room, June 20th, Notoriety Live. Downtown, and Notoriety tickets are on sale already.
How much are the tickets?
$25 and $35 for VIP.
Woo! Will that break a window?
Yeah, we're going to have cake.
Cake? You're kidding. What kind of cake? Italian cake?
Of course. From Siena.
Peter?
Have the nice Italian wedding. They haven't paid yet, so we don't
get case, all right. Thank you, Pete. That's Peter Pravone, everybody. We're not done with Pete yet. Next to that gentleman, ladies and gentlemen, is, let me tell you something. It's such an honor to have great entertainers, because I'm going to tell you the truth, folks, and please forgive me. You know how candid I am. You got pickup bands out there. You got wedding singers and pickup bands. They get a gig and they go look for a band. They go in. These guys are what you call fantastic performers. There's only a handful of people left.
Wow.
Only a handful, and he's one of them. Freddie B with the Cotton Club. What's going on, Fred?
Oh, man, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on today.
Are you kidding? It's an honor. You know, my idol was the Trineers.
Oh, Milk.
They gave me my break.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they gave me my break when I came to Vegas because I played in Atlantic City with them, and I was with Carmen McRae. You know, I don't think you guys remember who Carmen McRae was.
Oh, absolutely, I do.
Yeah, I was at the 500 Club.
Wow.
I was a kid, and they used to come and see me and say, kid, you ever come to Vegas? Look us up.
Yeah.
And sure enough, they got me on that stage, and they gave me that break. And their favorite song was House Party. Remember House Party?
Nice.
House Party tonight. Come on, everybody. Yeah. A house party tonight. Swing it, baby.
Swing, yes.
Man, see, that's my kind
music.
Of, that's why my shows, because that's what we do, that
right,
kind of stuff.
Right.
So, Freddie, tell everybody the excitement, because I know you're performing tonight.
Yes.
And, you know, there's people out there in TV land that are watching right now, the Italians that are eating spaghetti and meatballs and fagioli and all that good stuff. And when dinner's over, you got to go see Freddie. Tell them where you're at tonight, Fred.
Well, it's the new place that's recently opened called the Elevate Lounge.
The Elevate Lounge. Where's that at?
It's located 4850 West Flamingo.
What was that again?
4850 West Flamingo
Hold
Road.
Hold on. I'm looking through the camera. There's a guy on the chair drinking coffee. Buddy, I can see you. Put the coffee down and pay attention to what Freddie's saying. What's that number again?
4850 Freddie? West Flamingo.
4850 West Flamingo.
Elevate Lounge.
The Elevate Lounge.
And we started there.
I'm sorry, was that tonight?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Tony. Yeah.
Thanks, man. Appreciate that.
What time's your show start?
Starts at 7 o'clock.
7 o'clock tonight.
7 till 10.
And is there tickets? Is there purchase? Or
no, walk in.
No, you got to be kidding me.
No, sir. Come on in.
Oh, my God.
Have a cocktail and enjoy some good swinging jazz and blues.
Wow, that's great. Well, you know, before I forget, I got to thank my friend Sal Santiago today. We're all in the green room, and he goes out. And he buys all kind of Spanish food and for my everybody to eat in the back. And, you know, Peter Pavone, he took a box lunch with him. He took all that stuff home. I said, what are you doing? He said, I got to eat for tomorrow.
That's right. Doing? Can't go dry while you're driving, baby.
Now, you did something with the Cotton Club, didn't you?
Oh, yes. I paid tribute to Joe Williams, of course, a Las Vegas resident. Billy Eckstein, of course. And
who?
Billy Eckstein.
you know his hit?
Everything I have is yours.
Do you have any little piece of that?
Everything I have is yours. You're a part of me.
Woo! Easy, baby, easy! Right.
Sounds like divorce court.
Woo! That was swinging, man, let me tell you. And then you had, you just mentioned another guy, Joe Williams.
Every day, I got the blues.
Sing it, man.
Every
sing it, boy.
Day,
look, you got a smile on Tony Stroh's face. Oh,
I love it. I've seen him, and he's incredible.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, for you people that are out there, we have an album.
Yes.
As you can see, this wonderful album. Here's one. It's called Island Lady. Okay. Are these for us or are you going to?
No, you can have that.
All right. We have this over here, and then we have Child and Unsupported Blues.
It's Child another, Support Blues. Child,
listen, I'm 72. I can't see what
it's
I'm
It's okay.
My
it's all right.
Thank you.
I'm here to help.
Okay. And then we have this one here. Who's this guy?
That's Tom Schumann from Spyro Gyro.
Not Tom Schumann.
Tom Schumann.
All right. Tom Schumann from Spyro Gyro. So these albums are here, ladies and gentlemen. All you have to do is give us a call, and we'll be delighted to take these to your house. In fact, Peter Pavone's got them to do, so he'll deliver
them. Just have some meatballs ready. I'll be on my way.
Unbelievable.
A little espresso.
You know, I got some exciting news to tell everybody, which I'm really glad, and I'm very honored. The 28th of this month.
You're pregnant?
No, no. The 28th of this month, we're at Ahern's, and we have been sold out 4 weeks ago. Ooh. And I had a meeting with them, and I am delighted and honored to say that we go in, let me see the date, May 18th, every Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. We got a six-month contract, 3 months with a three-month on the back end. That means that everybody's happy. We'll continue that. And they did something that they never did before. They believed in what I had to do. They believed in the show. Joel, the chef that's over there, he's a young kid. This kid is phenomenal, ladies and gentlemen. Because I wanted to give the people that came to my restaurant that same experience. And they're going to have it. And I'm just so excited. And I thank the Ahern family for giving me an opportunity. Joe Cortez, Hall of Famer, 176 title fights. He's be at the door greeting you. We call him the Claw.
Mm-hmm.
You know what the Claw is?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want a good seat, you better make sure you're that guy. Because they'll stick you behind the pole, if you know what I'm trying to say. That's why Joe says, I'll be the maitre d'. He still thinks he's working in the Latin Quarter back in New York City. Unbelievable. But I got to tell you, you guys have been super. You've been great. And I'm just excited because I'm excited. You know, and I feel great about it. And how do you feel? Do you feel good?
Hey, you know, I actually had that thing done where they test your genetics and tell you whether you might get something in the future.
Ooh.
My doctor said, we never seen this before. And this is a true story. I'm prone to miscarriage. So you keep your distance, all
bless
right?
Wow, Pete. I thought we were like this.
Everything's great, man. I have albums I sell at my shows.
Okay.
So you got to come to the
show. And
shows.
How much are the albums?
$10 a piece. I have four different ones. I have my first one, which is a jazz album. Then I have the Sinatra tribute album.
Uh-oh.
I have a country album.
Uh-oh.
And then I have the Rat Pack tribute album.
Whoa.
So, yeah. Yeah.
You got your albums also for sale?
For sale. They're only $15.
All right. That's great. Well, listen, ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. There's no words to express my sincere appreciation for the hundreds of thousands of people that watch me put up with my antics every week, which is very great. I want to say this one more time. 702-221-7283. Look how big this is. It should show you that I can't see. Do you understand? I look like a Mama Luke if I put those glasses on. I don't want to look like that. Tony Scrooge is going to be my anchor today, and we're going to talk more with Tony, and we're going to go to commercial break. But before we do, I got to tell you a story. This guy dies and goes to heaven. His name was Angelo Bumbolini. That was his name. He goes to the Golden Gates, and he says, "What do you want?" And I'm here to get in the gates of heaven. And St. Peter says, "What's your name?" He said, "My name is Angelo Bumbolini." And he looks at the roster sheet. He said, "Mr. Bumbolini," he says, "I can't let you in because you didn't do anything good on earth." He said, "I did a lot of good things." He said, "Name me two things while you did on earth." He said, "I was once at the Golden Nugget, and a woman lost all her money, and I felt so sorry for her, I gave her $2. Isn't that good enough to get me, Angelo Bumbolini, in the gates of heaven?" Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, shook his head. "Name me something else." He said, "I was once at the composer's room. Believe it or not, I was at the composer's room, and it was a woman. She didn't have no money for a drink, so I bought her a drink. I gave her another $2. Isn't that good enough to get me, Angelo Bumbolini, into the gates of heaven?" Ladies and gentlemen, 6 feet away, there was our Lord Jesus Christ, 6'2", pot of blue eyes, black. He was nobly done. He was from Italy. Don't tell nobody different. I'm telling you, he was Italian. St. Peter looked at him and said, "What should we do with Mr. Bumbolini?" And the Lord looked over and said, "Give Mr. Bumbolini his $4 back and tell him to go to hell." We'll be right back.
Okay.
Located only 4 miles from downtown Colorado Springs and 10 miles from Pikes Peak, Hyatt Place Colorado Springs Garden of the Gods offers spacious rooms with contemporary decor, stylish furnishings, including divided living and sleeping areas, the Hyatt Grand Bed, state-of-the-art media and work center, a 42-inch flat panel high-definition television that easily integrates with laptops and other electronic devices. Complimentary breakfast is included during your stay. Location at 503 West Garden of the Gods Road. Book your stay at hyattplace.com.
Banachek, the greatest mentalist alive. He's the number one mind reading act in the world. Joe Rogan calls Banachek the best I've ever seen. Banachek's Mind Games Live, taking mind reading to new heights at the Strat Hotel, Casino, and SkyPod, Las Vegas.
Dust off your platform shoes and polyester leisure suits as it's time to hit the dance floor at the Australian Bee Gees Show. Paying tribute to one of the most beloved bands of our time, you'll enjoy all the hits like Stayin' Alive, Jive Talkin', How Deep Is Your Love, and many others.
Ladies, welcome to Las Vegas. Welcome to Australia's Thunder from Down Under. The world's number one girls' night outback performs every night. Excalibur Hotel and Casino. And what happens in Vegas happens at Thunder.
Mind-blowing and hilarious, Justin Wilbert. You've seen him on The Tonight Show, The Today Show, Ellen and Conan. Now see him live at The Venetian, May 3rd and 4th. Justin Wilbert, taking comedy magic to new heights. And you can see him live at The Venetian, May 3rd and 4th. Tickets available at the box office or by calling 702-414-9000 or 866-641-7469. Justin Wilbert, live at The Venetian, May 3rd and 4th.
Everybody, we're back. Chef Mike is back. And guess what? We have our other guest here today, Michael Saft, another fantastic, tremendous criminal lawyer. I got two big top lawyers here today. And Mike, I'd like to thank you for driving in from Topeka, Kansas. He has his bike. He's out there and he drove all the way from Topeka just to come up to say hello to you. And thank you so much, Michael, for coming on the Italian American podcast and showcast.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, he's not only my personal attorney, but my very special friend. You know, and when you got two powerhouse guys like this, which is because they're the most honest, most unbelievable men, and I have great respect for the law. Believe me when I tell you, because there's a case, Dumplin versus State. It's a federal case. It says it's abiding truth that nothing can destroy a government more quickly than its failure to observe its own laws or to disregard the charter of its own existence. I'll never forget that. And that was a very powerful thing. And the guy that did that and said that was a powerful man. And these two guys are powerful. But beside the power in law, a lot of people don't know about my buddy Mike here. Mike was a dancer.
Why do we have to go there?
Because we're going to go there. No, when I say dancer,
I've started texting people right now.
Oh, man, I am.
No, when I say dancer, not a dancer like, not the Chippendale dancer, but a great Hawaiian, because he's from, he's an islander. And that kind of dancing is some serious stuff, right, Mike?
Sure. Just move your hips.
Is that it?
That's it.
So I would answer.
It's all in the hips. It's all in the hips, buddy.
It's all in the hips. Mm-hmm. So Mike, tell everybody a little bit about yourself and what you do. And I know you're a very private guy, but it's important to let my listeners and viewers know what a great talent you are in the ring and out of the ring.
Well, first and foremost, born and raised on an island in South Pacific called Tonga. Born in a hut, actually. Grew up, my job early in my life was to make the fires for the house, for the family. Came here to the United States. My parents were entertainers. My mom was a hula dancer. My dad was a musician, like Tony. That's why I love live music for that reason, because I grew up on live music. Went to school in Hawaii. At Brigham Young University in Hawaii, danced at the Punjabi Cultural Center. I went to school, but I didn't go to school to go to school. I went to school so I can dance. So I had no desire to go to college. I had no desire to graduate from college. I just wanted to dance. When I went to Hawaii, I needed to be a student in order for me to dance at the Punjabi Cultural Center. So that's what I did.
Well, that's marvelous. Now, since I got the two of you guys,
sure,
I'm gonna put you in your arena. When it comes to the law end of it, tell me what you love about that. It's my entertaining, cooking, singing. The audience for me, it's an adrenaline rush, and it's got to be the same feeling on your end when it comes to law. So let the viewers know the compassion that you feel when you're up here, because that's some serious stuff. You got people's lives in your hands.
I'm gonna defer to my learned colleague over here, Tony.
Tony Scrope, be so kind.
So to me, it was always like as a kid, I grew up in a lot more economically depressed circumstances than I find myself in today. But here's what I'll tell you: the courtroom's a great equalizer, and it doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, what you do, and folks like Mike and myself, what we get the opportunity to do is we get to go in there and make sure everything is fair. Everything is even. And listen, I play music. Mike was a dancer. And a lot of that translates when we go into the courtroom and we communicate with folks and we tell them, look, this is really what happened here. This is the story as to how all these facts come together and tell you what the most logical thing to do is. And the experience from being on a different platform, a different stage, really translates nicely to what we need to do, and to be able to play guitar and be on stage and get that confidence to then go in and speak to people about something far, far more serious is a huge advantage, I think, in my opinion. But I can't speak for Mike specifically, but I know folks like him because he's really good at what he does. I hear stories about him all the time around the courthouse. But when we walk in there and we get to level the playing field, and no one's taking advantage of anybody because we're going to see to it that we're going to make it fair and square. I think that's why I do it for sure, because it gives a common person the ability to fight like anyone else.
Well, I got to tell you, Tone, because Mike's very private, and I appreciate him coming. He's not one for the camera. He's just not his thing. And I love him. But we're like brothers. I mean, we have a friendship. And he's the most compassionate man that I've ever met in my entire life. Nicest guy I've ever met in my life. And we met at the restaurant. The bill came. He didn't have no money. He said, look, pal, I'm broke.
He did that to me at a Starbucks once.
Yeah.
He did.
I got it.
Starbucks once. No, but now, Tony, real quick before I get back to my buddy Mike, if you have one song to sing, just one, that's it. You can't. I need one tune. What's it going to be?
Man. I don't know. To listen to?
No, no. If you had to, listen, we're going to put you on the Ed Sullivan Show. Let's say Ed came back to life again, right? We got his show. With Tone, I need one song. What's it going to be?
And I can pretend I have the voice to do it?
Yeah, who, what would it be?
Oh, man. It'd probably be an old school, like a I'm going to go between Zucchero, who's Italian, or AC/DC, which are two diametrically opposed situations. But if I could sing like Bon Scott, it would be one of his songs.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, the people that he mentioned are great performers. The people that I know, you need a seance to bring them up. You know what I'm saying? But listen, let me tell you something. I specialize in one thing. I do great in what I do, and I'm not going to change for nobody. But that's great that you do that. And again, you're opening the date that you're opening?
Yeah, Friday, May 3rd at the Composer's Room.
What was that again?
Friday, May 3rd. Right in between 2 and 4, May 3rd, at the Composer's Room.
Okay.
At the Commercial Center.
That's
and it's called, the show is called The Heist. The band name is Limoncello. We are named after an alcoholic beverage, but, you know, you take from that what you will.
No, I think that's great. Mike, we're going to go see him. We're going to give him a play. We got to go. How much are the tickets?
Well, you guys will be my guests. And Mike is still looking for that Starbucks card
on
his motorcycle.
I'm going to leave right now. I'm going to go find
him.
You mean Mike's an astronomer with a little pub suit?
We take gift
cards. No, Mike's a good
We take gift cards at the door. We're good.
Jess, how you doing? You doing okay? You feeling good, Mike? You're not in trouble enough because I got two guys right here. It's only like $1,000 an hour, which is very reasonable. They do, but I do. Mike does take the EPT card, so those people that are out there.
That's right. Sure do.
I'm only teasing you. So, Mike, if you had to do one thing in your life, let me go back because I don't want to catch you off guard. If you had 1 hour to spend with someone, living or dead, any century, spend an hour with someone just to sit and have dinner. Any century, could be anybody, living or dead, biblical or what. Who would it be?
That's your way of saying, I'm going to ask you a question that's not going to catch you off guard? your way?
No, I mean, for me would be my grandmother.
Oh, I see.
For me, it would be my grandmother. I love my mother. I love my family. But my grandmother, to me, and my grandfather, was my heart. They were my heart. You know, they were the foundation of my life, period. End of story. That's why I am the man I am today. And my grandfather used to say to me, Michael, never build a house on sand. I said, what do you mean? He said, if a storm comes, it's going to wash it away. I didn't understand. So you people out there that have children, when you raise them with foundation. You have no foundation. They're going to wipe away. And that's the trouble today. These kids are raised with no foundation. And then things go up and kids get in trouble. And then a storm comes, trouble comes in their life and they falter. You get hit with a right hook and all of a sudden they're wobbling. And then they hit the canvas and then they lose. So if it was 1 hour to spend with someone, think about it. If you want to, wait before you answer that. I can ask Tony that.
Well, here's my issue with that.
Go ahead.
Where I was born and raised, it's community. It's always been community.
Okay.
You know, you don't rely just on one person to sort of show you, support you, help you. It's an entire village. And so in my mind, I think of multiple people that I would want to spend that hour with. I can't, there's not one person that says that would think, this is the one person out of all the people that I've ever known in my entire life. And that translates, I think, on some level to civic responsibility on some level.
Okay.
And what we do as a community. And that is, you know, we can't just say, you know, within our little tiny tight circles that we just have that one person. And in reality, we all should be looking at each other as ways for us to be, you know, better people. We look to other people for that sort of, not guidance necessarily, but just more of an understanding that we're all part of a bigger thing.
See, ladies and gentlemen, did you hear what this man just said? Now you understand if you're ever a juror and you're on jurors and you get a guy like that,
run. He
talks to people.
Run.
Run. He said run. Okay, one more, because I want Tony's on a hot seat. I love you, T. Damien's never gonna forgive me. I'm never gonna work that room. You realize that after today. Listen to me. One last meal and one beverage. What would it be, Mike?
Oh, my gosh.
Come
Why
on,
you keep
buddy?
Doing this?
Come on. Don't tell me Kahlua pig. Come on.
What do you want it based upon our audience or do you want it just based upon the truth?
I want the truth. If you have one more meal and say, this is it. Last thing, and a beverage, what would it be?
Maybe lupulu and some manioque, and then maybe like some otai, which to drink.
All right. Now, the people in TV land said, what the hell is he talking about? So why don't you just tell them exactly, what was the first one?
Lupulu is basically corned beef, coconut milk, and taro leaves.
All right.
Wrapped
the
together.
Second?
Manioque is an actual root. It's a very yeasty root that's found in Tonga. And then to drink, otai is like a watermelon and coconut milk combination.
And the third?
That's it.
Is that it?
That's it, sir.
See, I thought you said Maragotti. Didn't it sound like Maragotti to you, Tom?
I think that was like a close second place. That's what I got from that.
All right. You thank you. Now, see, what happens is when you get guests, you know, try to say to you, I want everybody to know the person. When they come out here, when you went on the Johnny Carson show for the first time, you had 2.5 minutes to be funny. 2.5 minutes. You weren't funny. Carson wasn't bringing you back. So when I bring people on the show, my job is to make these people, to make you understand who these people are. Not only great, but a heart. Corazón for the Hispanic. Corazón means heart in Spanish. Tony?
Yes, sir.
And from a biblical sense, you have 1 hour to spend with somebody in a biblical.
I probably would choose, so my grandparents, you know, being Italian, I was very close to my grandparents. My biological grandfather on my mom's side was killed in World War II.
Okay.
By the time I was born and up and around and understood, you know, who people were and all that, he was already gone. But I hear stories, and I would like to have an opportunity to get to know him a little bit better, because from what I understood, he was a big influence and a big part of how everything came together. But I never got the opportunity to meet him, but he put a lot of things in play, which I would ultimately benefit from, but he was taken from us when.
Now, were you raised Italian? Like, man, were you raised with that Italian, the Sunday dinners and the grandmother? Because I was lucky that my grandmother, my great grandfather, I had that there. But from a biblical standpoint, biblically, if you had 1 hour to spend with someone, so who would it be? Biblically.
Oh, man, that's hard because there's so many. Do I want to, you know, do the more, you know, fun part of it and meet some phenom guitar player? Do I want to?
From biblical times,
well,
I'm speaking about.
Some of these guys are totally. You know,
Joseph, Job, Jesus.
I'm hanging out, obviously, with Jesus because I'm tracing his roots right back down to Rome. I got to think that there's some historic misstep that occurred as to why we don't all know that he was born and raised in Rome. That's got to be a mistake, isn't it?
You know, we were kids. We had catechisms. We didn't have Bibles. So, you know, as we got older, we became Christians, Catholicism. You know, it says, call no man father but me, the Bible says. And what do we say to the priest? Father Joe, Father Jack. And so it's such a contradiction. But like I said, you know, for me, it would be Joseph in the Bible.
Which Joseph?
The one who did 12 years in prison for rape. He raped Potiphar's wife. And I would say, how did you do it? You know, and he got out of prison and the Pharaoh made him the king of Egypt. He made him the governor of Egypt. He did 12 years for something that he didn't do. So, and nothing against Jesus. But for me, I would have to sit down with him and say, how did you do it? How did you walk those dungeons? And then, but God has a way, Tony, of bringing those people that are innocent to light. You know what I mean? And he makes you walk. That's why I talked about foundation. If my family didn't bring me up with foundation, I'd have crumbled and hung myself on the highest tree. And then as the years go by, you meet wonderful people like yourself and Mike over here. You know, and then I say, what do I want to do? What do you want to do? What the hell do you want to do? What time do we have left to make an impact? And that's the key. And that's why I admire you, Mike, so much, because you make such an impact in people's lives. Not only mine as a friend. You know what I'm trying to say? Not because we broke bread, you know, but I have the utmost courtesy. I just met Tony.
No, Tony is a phenomenal attorney. This is the phenomenal attorney.
And I'm sure that he is. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But I want the audience to understand that he's not only a phenomenal attorney, but the man has such a compassion, ladies and gentlemen, for music. you know, for music. You have to, he ain't doing Louis Prima. He's not doing that style. That's not his thing. He's doing what, if you went to Italy. So I urge everybody that's listening right now, okay? You got to go see this guy. The group's called Limoncello. They're at the
composer's room.
The composer's room. It's a wonderful place. They specialize in their pea soup. Am I right? Because that's what Damien told me.
Tuesdays from 10 to 11 a.m.
He said, yeah. He said the pea soup. You got to try the pea soup. It's unbelievable. What's the matter, Jace? You okay, buddy? What the hell are you laughing about? You still smoking that stuff? You better behave your stuff. Kid's going to kill you. I'm only teasing you.
It can't. It's legal now.
You know, for those people that haven't been to Ahern's, I went there a couple of days ago.
Like we were saying.
I'm teasing you.
That's what I was thinking.
Why do you think people watch this? The Pope canceled his church because he wants to. I'm sorry. You're Monsignor. Go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes, the Pope went to the composer's room, and he's going to be there May 3rd.
He's going
to
be there May 3rd.
Eating some Hawaiian specialty food. I think I've covered
pea soup.
And pea soup.
Unbelievable. Ain't that great? Ain't it nice? Are you having fun out there, ladies and gentlemen? Because I come here every Sunday. We're here every Sunday from 12 o'clock to 2. And Franny Sullivan is out there right now. Franny, I can see you relaxing, counting your money. You got to stop, Fran. You got to stop. You got to start spending a little bit. We're going to come on. We're going to start on Saturdays and Sundays. I'm sorry. Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. We're going to do a 2-hour show each day, you know, and it's going to be a lot of fun. And I'm so glad to have the opportunity to bring people like Freddie B and Peter Pavone and all my friends. I want to say a special hello to my wife out there. Laura, I know you're watching me, honey. She's making the homemade raviolis today. I told her not to do it, but she decided that she wants to make the ravioli. What am I going to do? Anyway, we have a phone call? We have a call from someone?
Hey, Shelly, give me 1 minute. I got
you. Who's calling? Is this a call?
Yep.
All right, let me see.
Shelly.
Hello, everybody. This is Chef Mike from the composer. No, from where the hell am I at? I have no idea where I'm at. No, I'm only teasing you. From the radio TV station, the Italian American podcast. Shelly, how are you? Who is this?
Hey, my love. How are you?
Oh, Shelly. How are you, Shell?
I'm fine. Looking good. I called to see if you were going to go to Freddie B's show because we're going to go.
Well, you know, today I'm having a dinner at my house.
I forgot. Mike was
there last week. And I gave him a bunch of stuff to take home. I was going to invite him again. He said, no, Mike, I still got the leftovers from last week. So, and you know.
Okay, well, keep me some leftovers, too.
So where are you performing at? You're at the composer's room, aren't you?
Yes, we're going to be there on the 25th. Yes, where Wesley, say hi.
Hello, guys. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Wes, what's up, buddy? These guys can't hear me.
All right, you guys look great, man. Can't hear
me. He's going to be the musical director, so we're getting it all together, rehearsing, getting the songs for the band. We got like a full 7-piece band.
A 7-piece band?
Yes, because we're going to be there with Patrice Isley, who's amazing. If you don't know who she is, everybody Google her. She's done so many things over her career. She's sung backgrounds with so many famous people. And now she's moved here to Vegas, so she's doing shows on her own. We help her out with her. She helps us out with ours, and it's a great little over there.
That's marvelous.
On the 25th, from 7 to 9, it's an hour and a half show straight.
All right. Well, I got to go see Tony. Tony's on the
May 3rd.
Oh, he's on May 3rd. You're talking about this month coming up.
Yeah, this month.
Oh, yeah, we got to go there. Mike, I'm going to see if I can take my attorney, Mike. You know, he's giving me that look. He's giving me that Hawaiian look. Let's climb up a tree and get a coconut.
I wish I had those guys around in my career when I was younger. I'll probably still be there.
What's that?
He could have used a good lawyer back then.
What's that? Well, let me tell you something. These guys are the best when it comes to that because they're compassionate. See how compassionate you are when you're entertaining? That's how compassionate they are. You know, and their stage is a courtroom. So it's a little bit different than what we do every day. Anyway, listen, I love the two of you guys. You guys are my best friends in the whole world. Sal San Diego today bought some food. And then I can't curse. Then he gave me the bill. I couldn't believe that. Anyway, I love
you
guys.
We appreciate you too. We love you too.
Sounds great. Thanks, Shelly.
Thanks for stopping out to see us at Lola's last night. I look forward to seeing you soon.
You got it. Thank you, sweetheart.
Okay, babe.
You're the best. Thank you very much. That was Shelly and Wes. You're going to love them guys. They're great. Mikey, how you feel? You feeling good today? So what happened to your bike? Your bike broke down today?
We used to stop longer than was necessary.
Is that what it was?
I think so, something like that.
Yeah, did you? That's a nice bike out there. What kind is it?
It's a scooter.
It's a scooter. No, it ain't no scooter.
Vespa.
That's a Harley, ain't it?
Audience out here, it's a Vespa.
Is that a Harley or a Honda?
It's a.
How about you, Tone? You like bikes?
I do. I shouldn't ride them because I'm not that good at it, but I do like them a lot.
Well, you know, it's funny. I was talking to Tony and Mike a little while, and at Ahern's, I was so nice. I was so tired last night, and they showed me the room. They said, Mike, why don't you stay tonight? So my wife and I, we went and we stayed, and 2 o'clock in the morning, I hear the bed banging, bada-bing, bada-boom, bada-bing, bada-boom. And I woke up. I said, what the heck is going on? And it must have been the honeymoon suite. I was next to the honeymoon. It had to be. And I hear the guy say, your face is so beautiful, I got to have it chiseled in Philadelphia. I said, I can't believe this. He said, your legs are so great. I got to have it chiseled in Philadelphia. I said to my wife, I said, I can't take this anymore. She said, Mike, go back to bed. It's got to be the honeymoon suite. He says, your bottom is so perfectly round. I have to have it chiseled in Philadelphia. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I'm Italian from Philadelphia. I couldn't take it anymore. I get out of bed. I put my shoes on. My wife said, you going to cause any problems? She says, nah, don't worry about it. I went next door. I knocked on the door. The guy said, who is it? I said, the chiseler from Philadelphia. Anyway, it's a tough crowd, folks. You think this is easy? You try it.
Were you only wearing shoes?
What?
That would have been more effective.
You know, I have so much fun when I come here. Freddie Selman, I love you. I got to make a shout out to my brother. My brother's going to be there with the camera. John Cameronara, he's bringing his camera crew in for the Doodlin commercials. It's going to be fantastic. Freddie's coming in with his camera crew to do the Step and Repeat. Love to have you there that night, Tony. If you can come in, have a drink. I don't have a seat for you, but we're having an aftermarket party, but just to talk about your show, which be great. And then Franny Sullivan be there. Not see Franny Sullivan also be there. Yes, sir. 9 minutes for watch, sir. Maybe I don't want to get off for 9 minutes. Maybe I want to stay for 90 more minutes. Don't leave. I'm sorry. Don't leave. I didn't mean it. I'm sorry. Come on back. That's great. What a wonderful time I'm having here. And again, Franny Sullivan, thank you. My brother out there, I love you. And my sister-in-law, a great lady. She wears her hair in a bun. I'm doing everything in my power. She's scaring people. I want to, like, put a piece of barbed wire, put a bow on it, do something. But you got to let it down, do something constructive with your life. Mike, is there anything you'd like to say, Mike?
Well, just one thing. I think following up with Tony had said earlier about the law, since we're lawyers. Here's the thing. In my background, my experience, there's one thing that you can't teach people in law school, and that is the ability to persuade, normal people. You know, as lawyers, you know, you go to college, you get your best grades, you go to law school, you compete, you get out, you get good jobs, and you spend most of your time talking to other lawyers. You talk to judges. You spend a lot of time, trying to convince very learned people about very learned things. And the problem is that a lot of times that does not make you a very effective persuader in front of 12 people. It may make you a brilliant orator in front of a judge or, you know, appellate arguments or other lawyers. But ultimately, at the end of the day, having the ability to connect to people is way more important when it comes to doing trial work, especially in front of juries. That's why having the ability to, you know, perform and play music in front of somebody. Singing in front of someone, as much as you guys do it all the time, is a very uncomfortable thing for 95% of the population. You get people in front of a, you know, on a stage with a microphone and have them sing a song without them being drunk or doing it as a dare. Very difficult to do. And as performers, you know how to feel the temperature of the room. You know when the room is cold. You know when there's parts of the room that needs to be heated up. You know there's parts of the room that needs to be cooled down. And you learn that over time. You learn that as just interacting with groups of people. Most lawyers don't have that ability. They are able to really articulate what their issues are, what the elements of the issues are that they want to persuade someone. But I think being an entertainer is a critical component to understanding what it's like to persuade people in a jury, because at the end of the day, juries want to be entertained too. I mean, they do want to have the ability to laugh a little and still hold credibility to the person. I've always told people all the time, I said, look, you know, there's a difference between IQ and EQ. Intelligent quotient is the ability to be smart, but EQ, or the emotional quotient, is probably as critical, if not more, in persuasion. And that is this. If I'm doing a jury trial, I always tell people who want to come and watch what I do. When you're picking a jury, make the jury panel laugh three times. And the reason for that is this, is that when you can make someone laugh, you are sharing something that's shared between the two of you. If I take your joke and I go to Saudi Arabia and I say something in, like a joke that I think we think is funny here in this room in Saudi Arabia, more than likely I'll probably be hung, because in Saudi Arabia, they don't have the same shared experiences.
Right.
But the moment
right.
you share something with somebody and you can laugh, you have literally at that point sort of opened the door to being persuaded.
Well, so, Mike, your wisdom is unsurpassed. Tony?
I totally agree. I mean, think about what you do as a singer, right? When you go see somebody sing, do you want to see someone that hits every note perfectly, but they're so mechanical? Imagine a singer that would only sing with their face facing their musicians instead of the face facing the crowd, right? The whole thing that makes folks successful in your industry, and you know this because you are successful, is the ability to have engagement with your audience.
Right.
You're performing in front of hundreds or thousands of people. We got 12, right? And imagine how unsettling it could be if one of the 12 is just not with us. And so I agree. While we're picking a jury, I tell people all the time, I'm doing it now on this show. I say, I'm Italian. I speak with my hands, right? And some people will laugh, some people won't. But what am I looking for? I'm looking for someone who'll connect, and they'll think to themselves, oh, my grandfather was born in Italy, or I have a cousin right. who just went there, whatever. And so I try to incorporate into questions for the jury where I come from, that I love music. So if anyone on there says anything about playing music or whatever, I immediately go follow up, because I want them to know we share that common experience. Right. And so we do that all the time. It's no different than being on stage. When you're a singer, if you feel you got someone's attention, you're going to go to that person and you're going to open up that wedge, and it's going to be infectious throughout the rest of that room. And it is very similar. And so it's no wonder folks like Mike are super successful because of the experience they had being forced to be right. out in front of people.
Well, that's another great wisdom from Tony Skro. And again, I'm extremely honored to have all these wonderful guests that come onto this podcast every week. I pick up the phone and I talk to them, and these guys, they just come down, and it's just an honor, and I'm amazed. You know, my personality, I like to be, you know, podcast. Some of these podcasts are out there. They got Sammy the Bull Gravano. Everything's a four-letter word. I didn't want to do that for this. I wanted something different. I wanted people to have a good time with them, to enjoy themselves. You know what I'm trying to say? Wait a minute. I just got a caller. Is this Mr. Kellogg's? I mean, K-E-L-L-O-W Kellogg's. That's to you.
It's O-double good, Michael.
What's up, Mr. B? Mr. Kellogg, you know, I'm here with my attorney, Michael, and Tony Skro. They're both going to be at the show on the 28th of this month to see, and I'm going to introduce them to you. This is Kellogg's, the Dynasty Kellogg's, you know what I'm saying? And
sure.
We became very, very good friends, and he's my guest on the 28th. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Bob Kellogg will be my guest here, and we're going to talk about Frosted Flakes, Raisin Bran, and all the stuff that you love.
All the stuff we had for lunch today.
You know, I got to tell you, Bob, Laura loved the fruit basket you sent us. You shouldn't have done that.
It's my pleasure. It's not enough, really, for all the friendship you've shared with me. I'm sure. I just wanted to let you know how much I care for you and how much I admire your, what you're doing for this show. You're a national treasure, Michael.
Yeah, national treasure. Going to God said national treasure. Forget about it. I'll be 72. But you know, God has a way of moving and people in your life. I never thought in a million years I'd get back what I lost. And look at me today. Landed a phenomenal gig at Ahern's. I mean, these people, they opened up their hearts to me, you know, turned over a restaurant, you know what I mean? Made it a supper club. They see, when people believe in you, it's like Ryan Ahern, you're going to see him. His kid's a prodigy. He's going to be there Mother's Day. We're going to go, you and I, because Laura's going to, her family's coming. So I'm going to join you that day, and we're going to see Ryan Ahern. He promised me he was going to call. Every time he promised me, he never calls in. He's always busy doing something. But I'm so happy that he called, and you know, I mean, that that we're together. And those out there that want to go see a great, great pianist and singer and performer, he's the guy that you want to go see, Ryan Ahern. So, Bobby, I can't wait to see you, buddy. Give your wife a kiss. I love you.
All right. Same to Laura. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
Sounds great, Bob. And thanks again for the fruit basket.
You betcha.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, Michael. All right. Take care.
Thank you. That was Bob Cutlogs, everybody. A very dear, special friend of mine. Very dear and very special. You know what I mean? I told the story about the Raisin Bran last week. What's that, what's that, buddy? We have another caller? Who's calling?
JD.
JD. What's up, JD?
Sabien, Eborcha. Kefai.
How are you?
Hey, I wanted to ask Kellogg a question. Next time you see him, I sent away back around 1950 for 1 inch of land in Alaska through the Kellogg label and 10 cents. And I got a submarine that you put in the bathtub with baking soda. And I got a deed for 1 inch of gold country in Alaska. I want to sell it back to them.
Well, when I see him, I'll tell him he's off the phone. You know, you got to have juice. You got to have juice to talk to this guy.
Right? I know. But that was one of the he might get a kick out of it unless you don't even know about it. But back then, they used to have little offers where you could get little submarines or whatever. You send back a box top with 10 cents. And one of the prizes was one square inch of land in Alaska in gold territory.
Wow. I don't remember that. Let me ask you a question, Jay, because you're a faithful follower here. Are you enjoying the show? Are you having fun every week?
Well, I love your sense of humor and when you talk about the old times more than the new stuff. But you're doing good I'm going to tell the boss to keep you around for a while.
Well, you know, because I cashed my check. I had to cash it on the bus. That's how small it was. I couldn't believe it. So next week, we're going to talk about Italian slangs, like what does the word mamaluk mean? You know what I mean? Strooms.
I don't know what mamaluk means, but how about a chooch was our favorite.
Tony's shaking his head, and Mike is just shaking. He don't have a clue what the hell we're talking about.
My father used to call almost everybody a chooch. Finally, I said, hey, Pop, I said, what's a chooch? He said, it's like a gavone. It's like a stupid, somebody who don't know nothing. He's a dummy.
Well, my dear friend, thank you for calling. We're going to close this segment out. Thank you for calling, my dear friend, and I hope that thanks for calling. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been marvelous. Thank you so much. Franny Sullivan, I love you from the bottom of my heart. Laura, I'm coming home soon. I'm starving. I don't know what I'm going to do. I ate a little bit of stuff back here, but I can't wait to eat the homemade raviolis. I want to thank the station. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank the Pope for listening to me in Venice and wherever the hell he's at, because God knows where he's at. So I want to close the show what I say every time. If I had Aladdin's lamp and I had one wish to make, I wouldn't wish for caviar or any special dish. I would not wish for dollars yet, and dollars I have few. I wish to sing, cook, perform, play the drums, and do a radio show for people, as all of you. Thank you, everybody, for making this old man feel very special.